This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great nation despite the fact that there is a great problem right now with higher education. The problem? A shortage of men. I understand this goes against logic, one would think, because we have been told time and time and time again that white males in particular dominate everything in our society. Well, it turns out that white men from poor economic backgrounds or working class economic backgrounds are even less likely to complete college than men of black, Latino, people of color backgrounds. What is the problem? Why is it that the most recent statistics, and the statistics are there in a fantastic article that I would urge everybody to read. It's an article by Doug Belkin in the Wall Street Journal. The statistic that matters, 60% of the people who graduate right now from colleges and universities, four-year colleges and universities, 60% are female. We are getting close to having two-thirds of college graduates being female. Why should that be a concern for our country, and what do we do about it? What are colleges doing about it? Doug Belkin writes for the Wall Street Journal. He covers higher education and national news out of the Chicago Bureau of the Wall Street Journal. Doug, thanks very much for joining us. First of all, are you a college graduate?
I am a college graduate, yes.
Okay, and not embarrassed about it. Why are so many other people of the male persuasion no longer interested? Because part of the problem that you focus on here is that males are much less likely to apply to colleges and universities, let alone complete their studies there.
Yeah, I mean, this issue begins almost as soon as kids get into elementary school. Boys begin to flounder very quickly. There's a significant literacy gap by third grade between boys and girls. Boys get suspended more. They get their grades are significantly worse. Girls graduate as valedictorians about 75% of the time now in American high schools. And when it comes time to apply for college, a lot fewer boys apply. And when they do get there, a lot fewer of them graduate, especially in 6 years. So the numbers just sort of add up and aggregate, and you end up with these really disproportionate statistics, which have just inched up. And that education gap has inched up a little bit over the past couple of decades now, and it's now at an all-time high.
Okay, why do you think that gap has emerged, and why would it be growing?
There's a lot of different things at play here, a lot of variables, I think, that are moving this stuff. So one of them is boys are just not achieving as much in high school, so they're not eligible. They don't do as well. And they don't like school by elementary school, so they don't want to continue. I think the education system from K to 12 does not favor boys. It's built, one of the lines, as I reported the story, I heard the expression that boys are considered broken girls in elementary school because they just don't behave appropriately for, you know, what the teacher's expectations are. So if that goes on long enough, you know, you begin to hate school and you don't want to continue it. And then there's an issue of value. Is it worth going into debt? Men are less inclined to take on debt for education than women. Men have different opportunities to go into different fields, especially with the labor market as tight as it is. So that's siphoning off some guys. And then I think there's this sense that the universities are aligned to protect women and they're not working in favor of a lot of guys, and they feel under attack. So this cultural issue, I think, is very real in the minds of a lot of young men.
I know that this has actually been one of those things that in secondary education, before college, high school, middle school education, a number of people have talked about going back to, we used to have all-male schools that would be more favorable, would give guys an actual chance to compete on a different level. Is there conversation about adapting that notion? I mean, basically, we erased all of the all-male schools, haven't we, and mostly in recent years?
Yeah, they were much more popular. I'm actually looking into this now. It's a really interesting idea, I think. And, you know, one of the issues is that women feel cheated if they're concerned that if you create, if you segregate the sexes, that men will get more, maybe a better education. And so there's concern that you know, that dates back now a generation, but it's not gone away. So the pushback.
Yeah. In terms of the, pushback on this issue, given the fact that you cite a figure which I've seen elsewhere cited, which is that a typical college graduate will earn over the course of a lifetime of work $1 million more than a typical high school graduate. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And so could somebody look at these numbers, and with close to two-thirds of our college graduates now females, shouldn't this close that notorious wage gap or earning gap between men and women?
You know, women earn more money in cities in their 20s than they have for a long time, for a decade. So there's a tax on women when they have children and they work less. And when they work less, they earn less. And when they earn less and work less, they get fewer promotions. So that stymies their progress. So I think a lot of this is about parenting and parenting styles and who's staying home and taking care of kids. Women out of the gate right now in their 20s are doing better than men by and large, especially in urban areas.
And in terms of women doing better than men, why should that be a national concern? In other words, the fact that women are vastly more likely to apply to college, to get admitted, and then once they're in college to graduate. Part of the problem here is that when men get into college, they often don't finish, isn't it?
That's right. And, you know, the issue of is this an issue is a really interesting one, right? So from a conservative point of view, it's sort of seen as a problem. The Times wrote a story in response to this story. This ran in September, and the Times wrote a story saying this isn't an issue. This really shouldn't be noted. Men are doing just fine. It was, you know, and that reporter noted in that story that more men are going to school now than ever before. And it's true. More guys are going to college. It's just that the gender gap is opening up. One of the issues that's likely to, and that you can see playing out now, is family formation. There are traditional gender roles in terms of who's going to make money, who's going to support the household. Not everybody's comfortable with women earning more, especially if women want to stay home and raise children. So that's a problem. Women generally want to marry men who earn more money, who have at least the same education as them. So it's forcing sort of a reckoning, a social reckoning, I think, in terms of dating.
Okay, can you hang on with us for another segment, because I think there's a real question about, and you mentioned this in your piece, it's posted up at our website at michaelmedved.com. What is to be done? Is there something that we as a society, as opposed to individual parents, can do? And then again, what would you recommend for individual parents? I'm speaking to Doug Belkin, and he is higher education reporter for the Wall Street Journal. And we are so used to identifying men as oppressors, it's unusual, and I think important, to sometimes look at men as the victim of a certain kind of inequality. And that has to do with something that does matter in our society and in terms of people's individual success, going to college and completing college. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show.
Michael, this is the best show.
This is the Michael MedVet Show.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now. So it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
On the Michael Medved show at Baylor University, which of course is one of the more prominent schools in the country, a male basketball team right now that's doing extremely well. I don't know about the female basketball team, but the undergraduate student body is already 60% female, which, when you think about it, that's pushing up toward the two-thirds. Female admission rate for men last year, the admission rate was 7 percentage points higher than for women. But every student has to meet Baylor's admission standards during admission, but they're very concerned about the imbalance of students on campus. Should we be concerned about that in the nation at large? When you look at some of the problems that are centered on men, could they have to do with, and when I say problems, a violent crime, a drug addiction, suicide? These are all areas where males in America right now are facing challenges. I was speaking to Doug Belkin of the Wall Street Journal, who has written his article is titled "A Generation of American Men Give Up on College. I Just Feel Lost." If there was one cause that would lead men to give up on the idea of college, what would the major factor be, Doug Belkin?
So hard to pick one. I'm gonna offer a few.
Good.
One of the things I think that's behind this is that the number of young boys growing up without fathers has increased pretty significantly in a generation and over two generations. Young boys are more vulnerable to a lot of issues when they're little, even more so than their sisters. And so that's a big issue, and that's a growing problem in this country. Boys are not reading. And if you don't read, if you don't take in information through words, then you're probably not going to succeed in school and you may not like school. So there's a big literacy gap between boys and girls, but boys just aren't reading. They're watching a lot of video games, watching a lot of the screen, and not engaged that way with their mind. The schools themselves are to some extent handcuffed by politics in terms of helping retain men, because to be seen as allocating limited resources to help, you know, young, especially white boys who are the majority of men on campus, when these schools by and large were created by wealthy white men for their sons, to be seen as giving these kids who are perceived as very privileged limited resources is politically uphill for a lot of schools. So that doesn't happen. So it doesn't happen in great numbers. So that's an issue, I think, that schools may be able to bend the curve a little bit better on.
Is it possible that some of the push to eliminate testing as a basis for getting into school, and more colleges and universities not requiring the scholastic assessment test or the ACT or any kind of testing, that doesn't work on boys' behalf, does it?
Boys, no, it doesn't. Boys have traditionally scored higher, especially in math, on these merit tests, on these academic tests. Although the gaps between boys and girls have closed over the past decade or so, so it's not as big a jump as it used to be. But looking at grades, which is where the schools are beginning to, you know, put more focus on as they leave the test behind, favors girls who earn significantly higher grades over the course of high school. So that won't. That will not work to boys' benefits.
What should a parent do if you want to help, if you have a son or two or three, and you want to help them actually do better in this competition that right now young males are losing?
You know, after reporting the story for several months, one of the things that became clear to me was that a lot of boys are very miserable in school. And if that line that I mentioned earlier, if teachers are treating boys like broken girls because they're not able to sit still, because they're not able to focus on computer screens the way that the girls are, because girls develop more quickly intellectually, cognitively, then they may not be in the right school. The boys, to some extent, need to be educated. The expectations need to be a little bit different early on, and they need to be encouraged so that they enjoy school, they enjoy learning. And if they're not, and if they're turned off to it, you know, that can flip a switch that is not so easy to flip back on. I would be very concerned if I was a parent and my young son was complaining that they just didn't want to go to school, that they weren't in the right place for them. That would be the first thing. The second thing I would say is, boy, you should be reading and encouraging reading for little boys. That's really, really important. And one of the other sort of startling statistics I came across in this story, reporting the story, was that even boys who have dads at home are spending so much more time on screens than actually talking to their fathers. And, you know, having a dad around can really make a big difference in encouraging a young boy. So I think those three things go a long way.
What about the idea? I know that it's been a huge issue between liberals and conservatives about affirmative action, trying to put your thumb on the scale, as you mentioned in your article, in behalf of minorities who have been underrepresented, with boys so dramatically underrepresented now. And I was reading in your piece, also underrepresented in student government. Girls are overwhelming majorities of student body presidents, almost 80% of student body vice presidents, and dominating student councils everywhere. With all of that going on, is it advisable to consider giving boys a different standard for admission, different standard for completion?
So there is affirmative action for boys in college. Boys are getting in with lower grades and in some cases lower test scores. That Baylor example, and there's plenty of them out there, look at the fact that boys are getting in greater numbers. It is harder for young women, especially young white suburban girls. That's probably the worst demographic to be in if you're applying to a selective college. Asian kids have it rough, too, because there's a lot of talented, accomplished young kids in those brackets, and there's just fewer boys. And schools are pretty pressed to keep at least a 60-40 gender balance on campus, because if they don't, then, you know, the girls don't want to show up. They want to have a social life, so the schools work hard. But what that ultimately means is that there already is affirmative action for boys on college campus, and girls are not happy about that. But on the other hand, you know, they want a campus that's diverse. What happens when kids get to school is that if you look at time use surveys of what boys are doing and what girls are doing when they get to campus, it's pretty stark. Girls are studying more. They're involved in clubs and engaged in academic activities more. They're working more. Boys are at the gym more. They're drinking more. They're watching TV more. But the boys are just less serious students when they finally do get to college.
So, Doug Belkin, this is all fascinating. I hope you'll come back. Who knows whether we'll make progress about it, whether any politicians will even confront it. We'll be right back on the MedVed Show.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is in Atlanta delivering a huge speech on voting rights. Former NAACP president of Georgia, James Woodall, saying, quote, "We don't need any more speeches. We don't need any more platitudes," close quote. Woodall and voting rights advocate Stacey Abrams skipping Biden's speech. This as Georgia Secretary of State Brad Rappensperger is speaking out against a federal takeover of elections.
The Democrats' legislative proposals would eliminate voter ID. Under their proposals, anyone could vote by simply signing a paper at the polling site saying they are who they claim to be.
Republicans and Democratic senators are grilling the White House COVID response team over the lack of home tests. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky, among others, appearing before a Democratic-led Senate committee. USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, the President of the United States has just begun his speech on voting rights in Atlanta, Georgia, and a state that he carried narrowly, of course, and a state that elected two Democratic senators in 2020, which gave the Democrats control of the U.S. Senate. Here's the President of the United States live from Atlanta. Listen.
154 times. The filibuster has been used to generate compromise in the past, promote some bipartisanship, but is also used to obstruct, including especially obstruct civil rights and voting rights. And when it was used, senators traditionally used to have to stand and speak at their desk for however long it took. And sometimes it took hours. And when they sat down, if no one immediately stood up, anyone could call for a vote. Or the debate ended. But that doesn't happen today. Senators no longer even have to speak one word. Filibuster is not used by Republicans to bring the Senate together, but to pull it further apart. Filibuster is weaponized and abused. All the state legislative assaults on voting rights is simple. All you need in your House and Senate is a pure majority. In the United States Senate, it takes a supermajority, 60 votes, even to get a vote, instead of 50. To protect the right to vote. State legislators can pass anti-voting laws with simple majorities. If they can do that, then the United States Senate should be able to protect voting rights by a simple majority. Today, I'm making it clear, to protect our democracy, I support changing the Senate rules, whichever way they need to be changed to prevent a minority of senators from blocking action on voting rights. When it comes to protecting majority rule in America, the majority should rule in the United States Senate. I make this announcement with careful deliberation, recognizing the fundamental right to vote is a right from which all other rights flow. And I make it with an appeal to my Republican colleagues. To those Republicans who believe in the rule of law, restore the bipartisan tradition of voting rights. The people who restored it, who abided by in the past, were Richard Nixon, Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush. They all supported the Voting Rights Act. Don't let the Republican Party morph into something else. Restore the institution of the Senate the way it was designed to be. Senate rules were just changed to raise the debt ceiling so we wouldn't renege on our debt for the first time in our history, prevent an economic crisis. That was done by a simple majority. As Senator Warnock said a few weeks ago in a powerful speech, if we change the rules to protect the full faith and credit of the United States, we should be able to change the rules to protect the heart and soul of our democracy. He was right.
President Biden speaking live from Atlanta.
There was an outpouring of praise and support across the political spectrum. But as we stand here today, it isn't enough just to praise his memory. We must translate eulogy into action. We need to follow John Lewis's footsteps. We need to support the bill in his name. Just a few days ago, we talked about, up in the Congress and the White House, the event coming up shortly to celebrate Dr. King's birthday. And Americans of all stripes will praise him for the content of his character. But as Dr. King's family said before, it's not enough to praise their father. They even said, on this holiday, don't celebrate his birthday unless you're willing to support what he lived for and what he died for. The next few days, when these bills come to a vote, will mark a turning point in this nation's history. We will choose. The issue is, will we choose democracy over autocracy, light over shadows, justice over injustice? I know where I stand. I will not yield. I will not flinch. I will defend the right to vote, our democracy against all enemies, foreign and, yes, domestic. And the question is, where will the institution of the United States Senate stand? Every senator, Democrat, Republican, and independent, want to declare where they stand. Not just for the moment, but for the ages. Will you stand against voter suppression? Yes or no? That's the question they'll answer. Will you stand against election subversion? Yes or no? Will you stand for democracy? Yes or no? There's one thing every senator, okay, every American should remember. History has never been kind to those who've sided with voter suppression over voters' rights. And it would be even be less kind for those who side with election subversion. So I ask every elected official in America, how do you want to be remembered? At consequential moments in history, they present a choice. Do you want to be on the side of Dr. King or George Wallace? Do you want to be on the side of John Lewis or Bull Connor? Do you want to be on the side of Abraham Lincoln or Jefferson Davis? This is the moment to decide, to defend our elections, to defend our democracy. And if you do that, you will not be alone. That's because the struggle to protect voting rights has never been born by one group alone. We saw freedom riders of every race, leaders of every faith marching arm in arm. And yes, Democrats and Republicans in Congress of the United States and in the presidency. I did not live the struggles of Douglas, Tubman, King, Lewis, Goodman, Cheney, Swearinger, countless others, known and unknown. I did not walk in the shoes of generations of students who walked these grounds, but I walked other grounds because I'm so damn old I was there as well.
I've got a response.
I'm kidding, man. seems like yesterday the first time I got arrested anyway. But their struggles here, they're the ones that opened my eyes as a high school student in the late 50s and early 60s. They got me more engaged in the work of my life. And what we're talking about today is rooted in the very idea of America. The idea that Inell Ponder, who graduated from Clark Atlanta, captured in a single word. She was a teacher and a librarian who was also an unyielding champion of voting rights. In 1963, when I was just starting college and university, after registering voters in Mississippi, she was pulled off a bus, arrested and jailed, where she was brutally beaten. In her cell, next to her, was Fannie Lou Hamer, who described the beating this way, and I quote, "I could hear the sounds of the licks and the horrible screams. They beat her. I don't know for how long. And after a while, she began to pray and ask God to have mercy on those people."
Okay, this is President Biden in, honestly, we will react to this as soon as we come back. This is an extraordinarily deep, it seems to me, miscalculation by the President of the United States, and an irresponsible one. We'll be right back on the Medved Show.
You're listening to the Mighty Michael Medved Show.
Very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com. Click on the banner for Relief Factor or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved show, the President of the United States just concluded his emotional speech, and he said, I must have used the term defining moment a half dozen times at least in his speech. This is a defining moment. This is a dramatic moment. He invoked the names of people who had died in the cause of civil rights, and Martin Luther King, and Medgar Evers, and Cheney, Schwerner, and Goodman, the three civil rights workers who were killed. This idea that right now the legislation that the Democrats are pushing in the Senate, and that is stymied in the Senate because they don't have enough votes to get it through. And President Biden was talking about majority rule, and if we lose majority rule, we lose our democracy. They don't command a Senate majority. That's the reality. Everybody voted. And by the way, contrary to President Trump, I think we had a full, fair election. And no, I don't think that anybody cheated to place Republicans in the U.S. Senate or to place a Democratic president in the White House. We had an election. And now you have actually both sides attacking the election process in a way that makes no sense at all. We're going to be speaking to Juan Williams coming up. And I want to ask him. I'd ask any of you, when you have a chance, give me a call. The president spoke at Atlanta University Center, and there were a bunch of African-American students, black students, who were sitting behind him, and they did not look as if they were inspired or electrified at all by the president's comments, nor should they be. And when the president was talking about votes by Strom Thurmond, who served with him in the U.S. Senate, was one of the longest-serving U.S. senators in history. But Senator Thurmond, who had run for president as a Dixiecrat and was an old segregationist, had voted to extend the voting rights bill. And this is not about taking away anyone's voting rights. If somebody wants to tell me how, what you're talking about here with the Democratic bill, and the reason the Republicans don't endorse it, is basically trying to standardize all across the country the way that you handle elections, to take that decision away from state legislatures and to take that decision into the Senate of the United States, where there is no majority for either party, where basically you're asking Kamala Harris, who gets the tie-breaking vote, where it all comes down to the Vice President of the United States. I mean, look, we have an anomalous political situation because the Congress is so close. So why not find some elements about voting? For instance, right now you have both sides that are extremely concerned about voting. Republicans are concerned about cheating, about voting fraud. Democrats are concerned about voter suppression. What is unclear to me is what they believe is voter suppression that has to be stopped, where this is a life and death struggle. And Joe Biden was talking about this as a struggle that you want to give your life for. I mean, it's just so vastly, vastly overstated. And again, the idea that democracy will die unless these bills are passed. What is a real question here is why now? And the answer is, frankly, because the Biden administration is so desperate to show some accomplishment. Part of the reason, apparently, that we are talking earlier about Stacey Abrams, who's going to be the Democratic candidate for governor in Georgia. Part of the reason she and other advocates for voting rights did not show up or stand beside the president on this is they believe that he's dropped the ball on this. He didn't talk about this from the very beginning. He had other priorities. He had other things he was attending to. By the way, one of the other big priorities that the president might have been able to get some bipartisan cooperation on, is something he promised to do right away, and he's done nothing, was the border and immigration reform. Nothing. And so all of a sudden here, he is now exploding with trying to move the filibuster, when what is the progress that he has made so far in terms of dealing with our voting? I'll tell you what, one of the issues that ought to come up is this issue about a constitutional amendment which actually could pass that would limit voting in the United States as a constitutional matter to United States citizens. Now, doesn't that sound like, well, that's already the rule? No, it's not. They changed it in New York. And there are other states as well where you can actually, in New York, they change on a citywide basis. They have a piece in the Wall Street Journal today, and it's a powerful editorial. It says that Eric Adams has made his first mistake as New York City's new mayor, endorsing a city council bill to let roughly 800,000 non-citizens vote in local elections. Mr. Adams said Saturday he looks forward to bringing millions more into the democratic process, assuming a court doesn't block the plan, which is entirely possible. In either case, New York Democrats are handing Republicans a political issue. Note what Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, a Republican, said on TV over the weekend. Quote, "I think we should have a constitutional amendment, a U.S. constitutional amendment, that only American citizens vote in our elections." The host, CBS's Margaret Brennan, tried to do an instant fact check. Only U.S. citizens do currently vote in elections. But go on, she said. This ill-informed response from somebody in the news business suggests average Americans will be blindsided when they hear what New York is doing. It goes way past the experiments with non-citizen voting that a handful of other states and cities have tried. San Francisco notably opened up election only for school board, and turnout has been low. In 2020, a city official says 36 non-citizens registered and 31 voted. So the question is, why then would you oppose a change if it's only going to be 31 voters here? First of all, every vote is important, as we learn all the time, and every vote matters. And secondly, what this entire drive does is it devalues citizenship. When my grandfather, who was an old man by the time he qualified to be a U.S. citizen, he was in his 70s. and not as old as Biden, but heading in that direction. And it was a very, very big day in his life that now he was a citizen of this great republic that he had come to years before because he qualified for citizenship. He passed the examination. He had learned about American democracy. He had mastered enough English to get by. And he could take his oath of loyalty as a citizen of the United States. Why would you devalue that? It's so moving. I still get misty-eyed when I see or watch citizenship ceremonies. And here you have the Democrats who are basically insulting that and saying that, no, if you work here with a work permit and you're in the United States legally, you're not an illegal immigrant, well, then we're going to have 800,000 of you vote in New York City. What a stupid thing to create two classes of voters, citizen voters and non-citizen voters. It's almost a joke. They are doing that. They are clearly attacking the voting process more seriously than anything in these statewide bills that they might object to. I am very eager to hear an answer from Juan Williams, who is so opposed to the bills in Arizona and in Georgia and in other states that were very close, where they are reforming voting processes. Some of those reforms may not be good ideas, but which one is voter suppression? Which one takes away the right to vote? Which one kills democracy? The President of the United States is floundering politically, and he has grabbed this issue because he thinks, well, maybe he can get something accomplished and not look like a failed administration. I think it makes the administration look more failed than ever before and more desperate than ever before in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vine Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.